This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Between 1984 and 1999, Mary Ferguson had a public affairs program here on KDNK. This I remember. Mary recorded all of her shows on cassette tapes. These tapes have been lost for years. Mary's family discovered them and donated them to the Carbondale Historical Society, and KDNK was able to digitize all of the tapes. In collaboration with the Carbondale Historical Society, KDNK is proud to present a conversation between Mary Ferguson and Rusty Burtard. Enjoy.
This, I remember, Mary Ferguson, KDNK, Carbondale, and beyond. Tonight, my guest is Rusty Burtard, who has lived in Carbondale for many years and has many memories that she will share with us tonight. Rusty, when did you first come to Carbondale?
Mary, I think we came to Carbondale in 1952. We moved here from Denver, Colorado, with a family of five little boys.
These five little boys have made a wonderful success of their lives in Carbondale. They have done so many things, as Rusty will tell you about them a little later. Rusty, why did you come to Carbondale?
I think we came here for a combination of reasons. We came here, first of all, for those little boys to have a better life, to get out of the city, to have fresh air, sunshine, to do many of the things that we couldn't do in a city. We came here so that my husband could live in the outdoors. He loved the outdoors. He loved the western slope, and it had always been his dream. And so we saved our money, and eventually, one hot August day, he came home and he said, "This is it, we're moving." And he had checked out Carbondale and he fell in love with it.
And of course, Mount Soapress had a lot to do with it also, because the mountain does draw people, regardless of where they come from.
Absolutely.
Well, your sister was at your birthday party last night. By the way, Rusty had a surprise birthday party last night at her daughter's home, and there were some 60, 70 people there, and many of them were all related to Rusty. And she really carried off the party very, very well, considering it was supposed to be, it was a surprise party. Tell us something about your family, some of your experiences in Carbondale and some of their experiences.
Well, I would have to say, Mary, that my impressions of Carbondale were among the finest of my memories. When I first moved here, there was a general store on the main street.
The Dinkle Building.
Right. And that was, I believe, owned by Mrs. Foley at that time.
Well, she was operating it, yes.
Right. And then there was another store owned by a man and wife on a corner that is now controlled by CMC, I believe, or
the Pings family.
No, it was later than Pings.
And then also Jim Bridgette's store.
You know, I'm not certain of the family's name, but I remember stopping in the general store and asking the clerk, who was the owner, how do I find the post office? And he kind of laughed at me because he said, "No one gets lost in Carbondale. It was that small."
Well, everything was on a couple of blocks of Bain Street, and that was it at that time.
I remember driving into the town, and there was a wooden sign at the entrance, and it read, 1,000 friendly people and only one grump. Yeah. And for the first year, we tried to figure out who that grump was. I don't think we ever figured it out.
Never found him. No.
My really great impression was the friendliness and how people spoke to you. They didn't even know you. how people waved and how people would stop in the middle of the street as the cars met and have a conversation, and you couldn't get around them. And that was okay, you know, it was a small town, and it was just a lasting impression, one I'll never forget.
It is hometown to all of us.
That's right.
It's our hometown. Right now, we are overpopulated, of course, where the growth is too fast, but it's still our town. Tell us something about your kids. You made a remark the other day that you were to go out and populate or multiply.
Multiply.
And you forgot to quit. You had some wonderful children.
Yes, I did.
And
I did.
Course,
I had a wonderful family. Eventually, 6 sons and 4 daughters. And today I have 7 living children of whom I'm very, very proud.
Of course, they all came to the Carbon Hill School and one by one. And as I told you, Rusty, you taught me a lesson, or that is, I had your boys one by one as they came through, and I was calling this year's boy by last year's boy's name. And little Laverne Burns asked me, he says, "Why do you call Louis, I think, Johnny?" And I said, "Well, I had him last year, and it was easy to remember that name." And he said, "Well, don't call me Ruthie." And from then on, I was very, very careful not to call this year's kid by his or her last year's brother's or sister's name. And I tell you, fourth graders, one day they're little kids, and the next day they'll floor you with their ability and their knowledge. What are some of your kids doing this day and age?
Well, they've followed their instincts. They've followed some of the legends passed down to them because their grandparents came from farming backgrounds. They have a tremendous love for horses, especially. One boy trains horses, buys and sells horses, and has a rental type thing and does hunting trips. They're a very diversified group of people, in that this boy is a cowboy, whereas one of his older brothers became a psychologist, was very adept in working with young people who had addictions, and was eventually went to Phoenix, Arizona, and worked in the field with recovering addicts. And I'm very proud of each one of those children's individualistic approaches to life. I mean, they've followed their own dreams.
Their own instincts and their own dreams and their own abilities.
Right.
So, and then your daughter's, isn't one teaching school?
I have one daughter who teaches the first and second grade in Grand Junction at a school called Nesley. I have one daughter who works for the Roaring Fork Ready Mix and was instrumental in helping the Buggy Works to get off the ground floor.
Yes.
There's just a diversified group of people. Some of the sons at first got into mining and so on, maybe not their ideal, but in those days,
you had to make a living.
That's right. It was what most of the young men did around here. That was the main employer, so they went to work for Mid-Continent and worked for many years for John Reeves, who speaks highly of them yet today.
Carbondale has had many different economies, and of course at one time it was potatoes, and Potato Day is coming up next, and we'll be seeing some of your youngsters and your children and your grandchildren. Are there any in the yes, they are in the Carbondale School now.
I have 20 grandchildren Quite a few live here in Carbondale, and they're very involved in athletics, in 4-H. They're very outgoing people, and you know, I can see that they've inherited a lot of that, the strong will.
From your...
The determination. I believe determination was what made us survive here.
Yes, because we have had hard times.
Right, right. And we've experienced those times. And I think that's why it's doubly hard for us to face today with all the many, many changes, even though I'm optimistic about it. I'm hoping that it will be handled well. I think it's part of today's society that we got to experience this growth. But by the same token, I feel that the people who started living here early, deserve a great deal of credit because they stuck through all sorts of hard times. They were deprived. They spent winters in hardship with deep snows and very, very cold temperatures. And we didn't have all the modern conveniences that we have today with heating and snow blowers and all that. You know, I think we don't give just credit to the folks who really and truly deserve it.
That was, well, even before you came, it was the horse and buggy days. There were very few cars. Finally got some pickups, and that changed the way of living quite a bit when people could travel by car instead of horse and buggy days.
That's true.
So, but we've had mining. As I say, we had potatoes. We had sheep and cattle. And now we're raising houses and tourists.
Lots of that.
So, plenty of those.
I think one of the noteworthy things that was missing in Carbondale when my children were growing up were any recreational facilities here.
At that
because
time.
We didn't have a place to play ball. We, you know, that you couldn't really use the gymnasium for basketball, and the school was very, very small. The original school was a brick building when we moved here, and it was called Carbondale Union
High School.
High School. Everything, all the grades were in this one building. That building still stands and is utilized.
We had eighth grades downstairs and high school upstairs, and our any activities that we had were down at the Odd Fellows Hall at one time. And now we have a good gymnasium. We have several places. And of course, at that time, golf courses and things of that kind were unheard of. We have some wonderful tennis courts, and we have some good schools. Instead of having the one school as we had at one time, now we have several schools in Carbondale.
And I remember the first luncheon room.
Yes, I organized that with the aid of the Parent Teachers Association.
Right.
And we charged 25 cents a meal.
Right, I remember that very well. And I remember Mrs. Hill.
Yes.
Verna, I believe was her name. Mrs. Hill taught the kindergarten, and one of my sons started at the age 5 in that group. The kindergarten was up in front of the building, and I'm not positive, but I think that might have been a Methodist church at one time.
No, it was a church, but not the Methodist.
A church.
Anyway, we also started our lunch program there, and kindergarten people, the preschool people, paid $5 a month for, their kindergarten year. And then, of course, now, look what people pay now for a babysitter.
That's right.
And then we started the lunchroom there, and we had the cooks in the back. And Now that building has been sold. At one time, it belonged to us. And after it was taken into the school, when kindergarten and the lunchroom was taken by the school, we gave the building back to the Thompsons. And now, of course, we even have a college in Carbondale.
That's great.
Our one need is some kind of employment for these kids that are growing up. Many of them have to go away to further their careers, or Aspen has become Carbondale has become Aspen's bedroom town because Aspen has jobs to offer many of our people. Of course, we have buses that take them up there. And one great thing that's happening now is that we're going to have a train going to Aspen, and that may take some people off of Killer 82.
It'll be a great asset
to Carbondale.
But you know, there's one really outstanding thing about living here, and that's if you ever leave, you never forget it. You never forget the fresh air and the odors. You never forget, you know, all the memories we've shared and the friendships. And to me, you know, I've got a world of friends here, and I love it. I think I first of all had to learn to love myself, and then to love all those wonderful friends. And I got so many kisses and hugs at my surprise gathering that I don't believe I had much opportunity to really eat. We had a wonderful barbecue.
Yes, you had a barbecue. Yeah. And those wonderful ripe tomatoes, because our seasons are different now, and we don't have the things that we'd like to have that we get from Grand Junction or some lower climates, and our weather system is changing completely. We have all four seasons in one day, which we do sometimes. We had a frost on the 4th of July, and then our winters are much milder than used to be. We don't get the snow here in town that we used to get, because snow came in late September, early October, and it didn't melt off until the following spring. Of course, we had a lot of sleigh riding, a lot of skiing, not particularly skiing at that time, but a lot of sleigh riding, a lot of ice skating and things of that kind. But we are growing. So, what are you doing now? You are still working, even though everybody says
Mary,
we're too old.
I am enjoying my life more now than I ever did. And that, in comparison, that's really hard to say, because I really loved being a mother. I really loved my little children. And I look back on those days, but I know I can never regain that. So I have more or less developed a philosophy. Probably part of it is an adjustment to growing older. But I tried to make the most of every day, and I choose not to live in the past, even though I enjoy talking about it and reminiscing. I choose not to live there because I know that I must move on. So I am employed. I'm a part-time employee, and I love my work. I truly love it. I love all the people around me. I meet all nationalities of people where I work. It's invigorating for me. It's stimulating. Granted, I go home pretty tired sometimes, but I feel I've earned that. And, you know, I have a deep, deep appreciation for life. That's probably pretty obvious by the numbers of children that I have, of the friends that I choose to surround me. I am a person of deep religious beliefs, and that's contributed a great deal to a very rewarding life. I fear nothing. I've chosen to go on and do the very best I can. I've had a lot of influences. I've had from my children. They're tremendous influence. They've helped me change my life, to build a better life, enhance my life. The love that I receive from them and all my friends, it just keeps me going and makes life a really wonderful thing to live.
Well, at the party last night, your children certainly showed the affection for you. You were surrounded by your children, your grandchildren, and they felt that they were being honored, just being there because it was your birthday. And of course, those little tiny tots were so busy.
Yeah.
But they were not mischievous.
No, it's very, very special to be a grandmother and to be a great-grandmother. Very special. It helps, I believe it really helps growing older and to make a much smoother lifestyle. You know, I'm just surrounded with love, and I guess that's the basis of a wonderful growing older.
You have all of those memories to fall back on, and all the ongoing love and attention you're getting.
That's right.
And the ongoing love and attention those your children, your grandchildren are getting.
Right. And you know, Mary, I'd also have to say that the tumultuous times in my life, the hardships that I've experienced, the rough times, the losses, you know, things that hurt me deeply, I've also learned from those, because I feel strongly that we learn much more from our mistakes than we do from all the good things that we've had in our lives.
And we've made mistakes as we go through life.
Oh, absolutely.
And as I say, the people around us have helped us in so many ways.
Right.
And this is a friendly town.
Oh, it's a great place to live. One of my daughters pointed out something to me, and this is so neat too, because every day I can learn something new.
We always do.
Right.
Learn
every
something
day.
Different every day.
And one of the girls was involved in a workshop. The teacher went to a workshop. The lady speaker spoke about how we love one another. She says, we're not here in this world to criticize. We are in this world to help one another to make the most of our lives. And I think if you look at that life in that perspective, if you look at your place in life in that perspective, that you'll be rewarded greatly.
You are. You have so many wonderful memories. You have so many wonderful friends. You have so many wonderful ideas. And you're not too old to have new ideas.
Yeah, the creative Leo mind.
Yes.
The analytical mind, I'm sorry to say sometime. But ongoing, thank God for that.
Thank you.
This has been a conversation between Mary Ferguson and Rusty Bertard. Thank you to the Carbondale Historical Society for helping make these conversations available. The complete audio archive and transcriptions can be found at carbondalehistory.org. This is Katie and Kay.